Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson. Read especially verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is the text. So it is the Sunday after Ascension Day. And Ascension Day is when we stop lighting the candle over there, and we say, Jesus was no longer visibly present with his disciples on earth. The 40 days were up, and they saw him ascending into heaven. And so the next Sunday, the lesson appointed, the gospel lesson, every year ends up being from John 17. Which is Jesus' great high priestly prayer. And so ask yourself, why is that? Why is that that the next Sunday after the Ascension, we always turn to Jesus praying for his disciples? Might have something to do with that verse. The Catechism quotes Romans 8. Christ is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He ever lives to make intercession. He is our high priest and pleads and prays for us before the Father. And so it is important for us to know that as our life goes on, we have somebody who is constantly talking with the Father about us. Let's flesh that out. Jesus and God the Father have this conversation going. It is a conversation of love. It is a conversation of desire shared, desire for our salvation. It is a conversation that has gone on. How long has that conversation between God the Father and God the Son been going on? From all eternity. And that conversation then is now about us. In the communication, in the talking, in the sharing between the persons of the Trinity, you are named. And Jesus talks with his Father about the desire for you to be with him in heaven and for all eternity to share his glory. And this is what Jesus is doing. Is that important for us? Is it important for people who have lives that sometimes end up going off in unexpected directions, where there are problems that come along and things that surprise and challenge us? Is it important to know that Jesus is talking about us and praying for us? I do think so. But every moment, every hour, every day, you are a topic of the conversation between the persons of the Trinity. But looking at the text, going a little bit deeper, let's set the stage. It's John chapter 17. That's important because of what happens at the end of chapter 17, beginning of chapter 18. That's when Jesus heads off to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there his prayer is going to be a prayer with agony, with sweat becoming like great drops of blood. The prayer earnestly praying, and the prayer shifting from, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away, this cup of suffering," and shifting from that to, "Father, your will be done." And so this is not just any ordinary simple prayer. This is a prayer by the one who knows what it is like to pray with such earnestness that it is agonizing, who knows what it means to back up the prayer with going from that prayer to being arrested, to standing trial, to carrying his cross, to hanging on the cross, to then praying from the cross. Two of the prayers: "Father, forgive them," and my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's important that this prayer launches into that journey to the other prayer. Why? Part of the work of redemption. Do you know what the word redemption means? Redemption actually means, dictionary definition, it means to buy back. So, the illustration I've been given is a store prints a coupon, you carry it into the store, and they buy it back for the amount that they printed it for. They're buying it back from you. But redemption in the Bible is when Jesus Christ buys you back. There's a cost to it. And in order to redeem, in order to buy us back, he has to go to where he can find us. So, part of the redemption involves a saved from. Saved from what? Saved from all the wandering off. Saved from the breaking of the relationship where Adam and Eve were created to very naturally be able to talk with God and pray and have their prayers answered, but they broke that relationship and broke it so badly that when God came calling out to them, where were they? Hiding behind the bushes, sowing fig leaves to hide from God that they were naked, as if God could not see not only them, but right into the deepest part of their heart and soul. And they're going to hide from God? That's a broken relationship. And from the loss of knowing how to pray. So that if you travel the world and you ask, what is prayer like around the world? And most of the time, in different religions, prayer ends up being this kind of thing. I'm searching for God, groping in the dark, trying to find him, taking a guess. Where do I find God? What can I find him to be like? And how can I make him into my loving God? And in that lostness and brokenness and darkness and confusion, this is where Jesus goes for us. Into our world. Into our experience where the heavens are closed and the prayer is refused and there's darkness and there's a cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this is where he goes in order to take us from there and to bring us back and restore that relationship and make us, once again, sons and daughters of God. He became what we were so that we might become what he is. He became the lost one hanging there in darkness and judgment so that we could become the blessed ones walking in the light of God, having that relationship restored and knowing that God is with us and walking by our side every moment, every hour, every day. That's what redeeming means in the Bible, to buy us back, to bring us back, and to make us his own. So, as he does that, he gives us this amazing gift. And the amazing gift is to have that relationship restored, to call us into that relationship. You notice the words. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I've manifested your name to them. I've given them the words that you gave me. I am praying for them, and all mine are yours. So running through this prayer in John chapter 17 is a theme, and the theme is one of relationship. And that's why Jesus prays this prayer when and where he does. In between the Lord's Supper, on the way, getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane to restore the relationship, but very, very likely in the courtyard of the temple, there at God's house. And there he is praying the prayer, restoring the relationship, giving us the privilege then of calling God our Father. Let's pull that in as well. How does Jesus teach us to pray? First two words of the Lord's Prayer, our Father. It's a gift. It's a gift given to those who had walked off and abandoned that relationship, but now it is restored. And now you are called children of God, and now you are sons and daughters, and now you are brothers and sisters of Jesus, and now your relationship with God is one of walking together through this life. That's terribly important. It's terribly important for times and events in our lives when we head off on something new. Graduation. Moving into new things. Exploring a new area of life. Or day by day. Because you wake up in the morning and you really don't know what that day is going to bring. And each day that goes along, something changes. You hold on to the old, you reluctantly go into the new, but over time and the passing of the days and years will force you into dealing with things that happen. Or something happens in life that you are absolutely not ready for. That's when it becomes incredibly serious. The most important thing in the world and in your life to have a relationship with the Eternal One. Because that becomes the anchor. And to know that this Eternal One, the one who rules over the ages, who sets the universe in motion, starts the years rolling, that one is your friend. That he sees and knows and understands your prayers. That's why it's so important that it is Jesus who And there's a whole lot that comes after that. Jesus who? Jesus who was born. Jesus who knew what it was like to be hungry and thirsty and tired, fatigued. Jesus who had to deal with those who wanted to tear down his reputation and drive him out. Jesus who, though doing what was right, was condemned and judged. Jesus who shared the experience of sin by taking our sins on him. And the spotless Lamb of God then hangs in utter dejection so that he may know where we are at. And he goes as far as he needs so that he can reach out to the furthest, the most lost, the most despairing, the most confused. That's our Jesus. And he is the one then who takes our prayers and who carries our needs before the throne of God. This was not just something to last for one chapter in the Gospel of John, because the Bible tells us that this is the ministry of Jesus every moment for the whole time of our lives and until we are in heaven with him. And we need to know this as we head on and head out into our lives, whatever the day and whatever the year may bring. It is good to know that we are held in the hands of the one who suffered for our sins, who swept them away, made us right with God, and now carries us along with his own holiness, day by day and on into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.